We hope today's edition of the Hour of Power will be encouraging and uplifting for you and your family. If you have a prayer request you would like to send after the program, email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You're listening to a broadcast produced daily, Monday through Friday at 9 a.m. on therockchristianmusic.com and live on Facebook on The Rock Christian Music page. Or you can find us on the Paragon Communications app and take us with you everywhere. Let us pray.
Good morning. You are tuned in to the Hour of Power, the most powerful hour of the day. I'm Tina Dobbs, sitting in the host seat this morning. My sister Monica Lovell is over there running the iPad, and our sister in Christ Melanie Randall is our guest this morning. How are you this morning?
I am doing well.
Yes, good ma'am. To see you this morning.
Good to be here.
If you have a praise report or a prayer request, you can send them to us three ways. Hour of Power, you can email it to hourofpower32@gmail.com. You can text it to 580-485-0837, or you can comment on the Facebook post, and we'll do our best to get it on paper and pray for you about halfway through the program. We do record in two parts, and we're having technical difficulties, but once we get those resolved, we will be uploading all of the previous broadcasts to our website. Our Facebook sponsor for today is the Refuge Church, located at New Liberty Church at 18304 East 1140 Road in Serra, Oklahoma. Pastor Powerhouse Tammy Bailey. If you'd like a entry onto our August book blessing wheel, all you got to do is like, share, and comment. Done. We have not picked out a new book yet, and we forgot to spin the wheel, but I think we're going to spin the wheel today. I think I covered it all. Would you like to pray to start us out, Miss Melanie?
All righty. Well, Father God, we thank you. Thank you for this blessed morning in another month, in August, the eighth month of this year, in the third quarter, the middle month of the third quarter this year. Time is moving on. And so we thank you, God, that you have yet allowed us to be here to be able to share with your people on this morning about open doors. And I just want to say, Lord, that you would cause me to speak as you would have me to speak as your vessel, Lord, to the people this morning. That they receive the word of God, that it will cause each and every one of us, Lord, to go further in our walk with you, Lord. It would give us greater hope of what we are doing, Lord, as we walk through the open doors that you provide for us. And so, God, we say that we love you, we appreciate you, and we thank you for what you are doing in this hour of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen. I'm excited. I like your title, God's Open Doors.
Amen. I'm going to read something here that's on a picture. I don't know if I turned it around. I don't know if you could get it or not. Here is where you can see that. And then I'm going to read what's on the picture. And I believe I've shown that picture before. That's been probably quite a while, but that's my grandson some number of years back, because he's about, I think he's 13 now. And this is when he lived here in Elk City. And it says, step up to the plate, meet the challenge, make the connection. God is counting on you. And you see that baseball is right there at the bat. I mean, he's right on target with hitting that ball. And so this is what God is asking of us today, people of God. He's asking us to step up to the plate, meet the challenge that comes in life, make the connection. Why? Because God is counting on us. Whether we knock it out of the park as a home run, or whether we knock it to first base, or whether we knock it to third base, wherever we knock it, you know, God is counting on us to make our hit. We don't have to, hit it like everybody else. But we got to hit it like God wants us to hit it, however that may be, because we're not all in the same place in life. So we all don't have to hit a home run. But I tell you what, at the end of the game of life, we want to have made it home. We want to have made it to every base. Yes. And we want to be, whether we slide in home or whether we have to walk on home for some pitcher walking us, we want to have made it home. And that's our desire this morning, is to help you and to help myself and to help others to make it on home. I thank God, you know, when I see things that are going on in life and things that we have participated in ministry-wise. And, you know, it's a blessing when you can share with others in other places and see the excitement on their faces about what you're sharing. And you're knowing that God is pleased with what you have given. My husband and I, we had the opportunity last month in Lawton at a holy convocation to share. He shared about dreams, and I shared about how God uses my pictures. And God is so, I'm telling you, God is so faithful. I had waited kind of close to the last minute to try to get some easels to put my pictures on, because I was more concerned about getting all these different 20 by 30 board prints. And I tell you, Monica, I was making one print after the other. And then I get home and I look and I think, nah, I don't want to use that one. Let me go get another. It got to be kind of expensive. It got to be kind of expensive making 20 by 30 board prints, because I couldn't decide which ones I wanted to use, you know. But finally, we've made up our mind to take 8 of them with us. And I need at least 4 easels. And we were just going to switch them out and ask the people which one ministered to them. And so anyway, we ended up getting one easel here. They had one here at Hobby Lobby. And when we called the other Hobby Lobby, and the man was asking when I needed, I was needing them 2 days, because that was when I was going to speak. And but they had in Lawton, they had, you know, 8. I think they said they had enough. And so we had to go through Altus first, and we went through Altus. Let's just stop at the Hobby Lobby there and see. And they had what I needed. And so I got my easels, and I was so happy. you know how it is when you wait till the last minute, you're so happy to get what you need. Or we're going to have somebody standing up there holding those board prints, you know. I know you would have. But it was such a blessed setting. And I had this one board print, and it says a teaching lesson, and it says, even if you feel that your life is all cracked up, God can hold you together. It's my son holding this egg, and it's when he had cracked the egg. Yeah, the white shell came off, but the membrane held together. He was going to fix him some eggs. It wasn't frozen or anything. And so I asked the people, what their particular board print spoke to them. That was the number one print. That was the number one print there, was if you feel like you're cracked up, God can still hold you together. Because it really symbolized that, you know. Mm-hmm. And it really spoke volumes to people. It says, you know what, I may be cracked, but look at this egg, it's still being held together. You know what I mean? So that means God can hold me together, you know. Mm-hmm. And the second one was dealing with pretty blue water going around in a circle over a rock over there at Quartz Mountain at the lake there. And that was the second one, because it says on there, solace. And then it says, there's a place you can go where the enemy cannot follow. It's in the presence of God's glory in the Holy of Holies. So what those two pieces told me is that people are seeking to be kept together in the midst of some serious things that can really, you know, cause devastation in our lives. And the second thing is that people want peace. Mm-hmm. They want peace in the midst of all the chaos of the world. And so I enjoyed reading different ones' comments. I think we had two people that that like the one with the tree coming out of the sewer, saying, if God, you know, if a tree, a living tree can come out of this, what can God do with your mess, you know? So two people that related to, you know. But I tell you what, God was so faithful in the setting, and I was just so blessed to be able to share in that matter. And so we're going to get on into what we came here to talk to you about, but I just wanted to share because I want to encourage you all, whatever talents and gifts God has given you, share them. Share them with others. You just don't know how it may help them and in what way it may help them. Share what God has given you to others. All righty. God's open doors. 1 Corinthians 16, 5 through 9. And it says, now I will come to you when I pass through Macedonia, for I am passing through Macedonia, and it may be that I will remain or even spend the winter with you, that you may send me on my journey wherever I go. For I do not wish to see you now on the way, but I hope to stay a while with you, if the Lord permits. But I will tarry in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a great and effective door has opened to me, and there are many adversaries. A great and effective door has been opened to me. And of course, this is dealing with Paul. And let's see what he's saying here about this great effective door. First of all, the phrase open to me, that which has been open, comes from a Greek word meaning, it means it's uniquely unto him. This is saying that this opportunity had never come before like this. So it's a unique opportunity that has come before Paul. And he wants to, you know, really not let this opportunity pass him by. The word great, because it says that there is a great door. A great door. The word great comes from the word Greek, a word meaning mega, which means also huge, massive. It also gives you to know that this is this wide, great, massive door is wide open. And so he's not having to knock. He's not having to ask, seek, or anything like that. Well, which we're going to get on into that part too. But he's not, it's already a door that has been opened for him. You know, it's nice when you come to a place and there's already opportunities for you. There's already doors open for you. You don't have to try to figure out, well, who do I need to see to try to get this door open? You know, this opportunity open. It's already there. It's nice when that happens. It doesn't happen like that all the time, but it's nice when it does happen. So here Paul is in Ephesus, and this great effective door, or should I say effectual, it says, I believe, door is open. The word effectual from the Greek word, it almost looked like energy. It's E-N-E-R-G-E-S. So it's, I don't know if it's energes, or pronounced some other way, but it looks like where the word energy comes from. And so, you know, it's that which is forceful, that which is effective, that which is powerful. So what we have here is not just a weak door, but we have a powerful door, meaning we have a powerful opportunity here for the sharing of the gospel. And so we're not just talking about some little, you know, little door that's kind of slightly open, and I got to try to look and see, do I really need to walk through here? Oh, no. The door is wide open. The door is a huge, massive door, meaning, and when we talk about door, we're talking about opportunity. So it's a huge, massive opportunity for Paul to be able to share. But at the same time that you have this huge, massive opportunity there, you have adversaries there. Mm-hmm. Now, in the midst of a great opportunity, here are those that are opposing you. They're just there right now. They're just there. You get what I'm saying? The word adversary, the first part of that is anti. And it's a compound word, anti, I'm going to say chemi, because I'm not for sure. It's K-E-I-M-A-I. And so the first part means against. And so that lets you already know that this is opposition coming, you know, to stand against you. And the other part is to lie around, as to lie in wait. And so what you have here is an expression of hostile forces lying in wait, looking for their opportunity, if you will, to strike. Here is an opportunity now to share the gospel. And here is the enemy on his side looking for his opportunity. And not only looking for his opportunity, but looking to take away your opportunity. See, I know this is a play on words, but this is what's going on. This is exactly what is happening. They are waiting for their opportune time to steal the opportunity that God has granted his servants. And so even though, you know, we can get all excited about the great opportunity that awaits us, we still have to be watchful. We still have to be prayerful. We still have to be discerning about how we go forth and present this gospel. Because Paul always had opposition along the way. He always had people that did not want to receive the message of who Jesus Christ was, because they did not want to hear it. They did not believe in who he was. So they were not trying to hear this message. And they would try to stir up trouble to cause the other people to believe as they believe. You know, that sounds like something that's going on right now. Now that I think about it. People are coming against the very word of God, and they want you to believe like they believe, even though it's against what the word of God says. And if you don't believe it as they believe it, then they're ready to shut you down. Mm-hmm. We got to cut you off of Facebook. We got to cut you off this platform or social media. We've got to cut you off here, there, and everywhere. You know, I'm on Facebook, but I try my best not to be. This is hard to keep from not scrolling forever on there. I'm telling you. But I try my best not to just be on that thing forever. Because if they shut me down, then fine. It'll be all right. You know, it's not like that's my only avenue to share the word of God, you know. God will open up another door somehow, some way. So here we go. This door that will be open unto Paul, not is only an effectual door, but it is an effective door for the work of the ministry. And see, that's how you know that it's, let me say two things, how you know that it's of God is that the great opposition also equals great reception, okay? The great opposition on the one side equals great reception on the other side of the word of God. So you know that it's of God when this great effectual door or opportunity has been opened and people are waiting. See, you got the opposition waiting too, but you got people waiting to hear the gospel message. They're waiting to hear that which will bring them into a better place of lifestyle than where they're at. They're waiting. And so Paul has a message for those that are going to be a part of the great reception of this ministry and become a part of the kingdom work of God. And so that's where, you know, our focus has to be. We can't get so upset about the opposition is there, because what the enemy wants you to get focused on him anyway. That's the thing. He wants you to focus on him. So if you can focus on him, that gets your focus off of what God and, you know, the opportunity God has given you. And you feel like what the enemy is doing is greater than what's been presented for you to do. And so you can't get sidetracked. And see, those are what you call detour roads that the enemy gets you off on. He'll have you're going all along and right with the plan and the work of God, and God's opened a door for you to do what he's called you to do. And next thing you know, here's the enemy. You're looking at the opposition over there, and you take a little side detour road because you done got off track thinking, oh, no, here comes the opposition. I better run. I better hide and tail run. You know, oh, no, we can't do that. We can't do that, people of God. If God brings forth the open door, the opportunity for you to share, then it must be he's going to provide a way for you to, you know, to do that. He's going to give you what you need to survive amidst the opposition and to go forth and give that which God has given you. Now we got all that part there about the what God has given us in the opportunity of an open door. I'm here to encourage you to take your open door opportunity. Mm-hmm. Take that opportunity. Sometimes, you know, if we don't take it, a lot of times it may come back around again, but sometimes we don't get the same type opportunity. Mm-hmm. It'll be a different type of opportunity. And we would have wished we would have taken that open door because it would have provided something for somebody really in need, you know, that they needed. And so let's not miss our opportunity. All right, let's go to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. Praise the Lord. And I'm going to read verses 7 and verse 8. Chapter 7 and then verse 7 and 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. All right. And so in this area of an open door, you continue to knock for the door to open. And you knock in faith. You knock in faith. An entrance into this door brings you life and peace. Entrance into this door brings life and peace. So this is a door that you definitely want open unto you, because this is your avenue, as you want to say, into the entrance into the things of God. And so it's good for us to see that we have a need for the one that has created us. It's good for us to see that we have a need to, you know, that needs to be filled in our lives. And it only can be filled through us walking in that door of receiving Christ. And so I didn't want to just really go all off into a lot of the ask, seek, and knock, but I want us to just looking at the door. The door. God presents a door for each and every one of us in our lives that he wants us to walk through. And he's rooting for us in that. God is rooting for us. He's not trying to, he's not standing there trying to block you from the door. The enemy is. The devil himself is. He's trying to get you to, you know, get sidetracked and not see that the door is, the way is made open for you. But God is there to root you on, to say, I have provided an open door for you so that you may receive life and that more abundantly. And you can receive peace. And, you know, the more I live, the more I'm conscious of what we do in this way. It's all about walking by the Spirit of the living God. I was teaching our equipping class on Sunday morning, and I was telling the people, I said, the spirit world is more real than what we see in this natural, tangible world. Absolutely. I said, and the reason why it's more real, because that's what's operating behind the scenes to cause the natural functioning of things. That's why it's more real. We can't see it, but it's what's pushing. It's the force behind what we see. It's the force of me standing up here teaching. It's what causes me to be able to say. It's the actual spirit of life flowing through me. What God breathed into man, and man became a living being. It's that breath of life, that spirit of God, of himself that he breathed. It's just causing me to do what I do. And so we got to get away from being so wrapped up with what we see and not know that what's behind what we see, this moving and causing things to function, that's more important than anything. What spirit are you operating by? That's what we need to know. What spirit are you really operating by? Are you operating by the spirit of the living God or the spirit of the devil? You know, even Jesus told those people back in his the time that he walked on the earth, he told them they operate under the spirit of the devil. That was some of the religious leaders. You know, you're of your father, the devil. That's pretty point blank. And so we got to be operating by the right spirit. And so this gives our entrance into the things of God. Luke 11. Luke 11, and we're going to be coming to verses 7 and 8. And I think I'm going to start at, let's start at verse 5. Start at verse 5. And I want you, this verse starts right after Jesus teaches them to pray. The Lord's Prayer. And it's really something, if you think about what the disciples asked in that passage, in 11, and I believe it was the very first verse, and one of the disciples asked him, he says, Lord, teach us to pray. And now they didn't say, teach us how to do a miracle. Teach us how to walk on water. Teach us, you know, teach us how to get these fish and loaves of bread, how to multiply. Teach us how to do those things. But they said, teach us to pray. Look how important prayer is. We've got to know it. We've got to know that prayer is very vital. And it's more vital in this hour than it ever has been. And so I encourage you to find yourself a time of prayer and a place of prayer. And I'm not talking about just waiting till you go to church on Sunday morning and feeling all good about what you do on Sunday morning, because the enemy is coming with something Monday morning, Tuesday morning, Wednesday morning, you know, all throughout the week to try to knock you out. Yeah, he's not, you know, sleeping. He's not, you know, he's not being lazy about his job. And so we have to be diligent, as the Word of God tells us. We have to be diligent and we have to be vigilant about what we do And we definitely, as I use this word all the time, we got to be intentional about what we do in our walk with God if we want to make it through. And so this is after they have asked him to teach them to pray, the Lord's Prayer is given, and then we come to verse 5. And he said to them, which of you shall have a friend and go to him at midnight and say to him, friend, lend me 3 loaves, for a friend of mine has come to me on his journey, and I have nothing to set before him. And he will answer from within and say, do not trouble me. The door is now shut, and my children are with me in bed. I cannot rise and give to you. Some of us would have been thinking, well, that's your fault. You knew the band was coming. You should have been providing something for him to have. Right. You know, really, what you going to come here at midnight for? You talking about you got a friend that's done coming. You ain't got nothing to feed him. That's your fault. Right. Didn't you know he was coming? Yeah. Oh, some of us would have been real harsh, I'm telling you. Mm-hmm. You know. But then, you know, it goes on to say, I say to you, though he will not rise and give to him because he is his friend, yet because of his persistence, he will rise and give him as many as he needs. I believe it's the King James Version says because of his importunity. And searching that out, there's more than just this guy being persistent about him needing, you know, some food or to have for his friend. But importunity also represents a shamelessness. He didn't want to be shamed for not having anything. And the other man on the other end, shame. He didn't want to be shamed for not providing because, this is a village where these people are. And if he wouldn't get up at night to provide for this man, he would be looked at as being hard and not giving the friend something to provide for his friend. And so for his importunity, for him to not be shamed, then he got up and gave what he had to give to this man. Okay. I'm going to go on to verse 9. It says, so I say to you, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you will find, knock and it will be opened to you. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds, and to him who knocks it will be opened. If a son asks for bread from any father among you, will you give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will he give him a serpent instead of a fish? Or if he asks for an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? So I wanted to read all that to let you know that God is not being looked at in the same manner as this other fella that whose door had to be knocked upon. It's letting you know that God is better than that. If somebody in that sense of the natural sense of when somebody comes and asking them, you know, to provide something for them, if they can get up because of your persistence to get up and give something, how much more so will God give of his Spirit to those that ask? And so what is letting you know that God is a God who wants you to ask. He's not going to be like the man that was laying in the bed talking about, my door is shut, I got my children here, you know, you need to go and wait till a decent time tomorrow. No, he is better than that. See, God is better than that. He's better than us as natural parents and what we can do for our children. He can provide better. He can do better. And so that's what it's showing you in that. The door that God has given you is a better open door than what somebody can give you in the natural sense, okay? And so are you capable of receiving the answer? Are you capable of receiving the answer that God has for you? Persistence will open a shut door. But at the same time, I want you to see that it's not a wearing down of God. See, you're not going to wear God down. It's not about you wearing God down, but it's about a willingness of you to keep the faith to ask God for what you desire and need. And depending on the situation and circumstances as to why God waits, because sometimes God is allowing you to get into a certain place so that you can receive the answer he has for you. And so it's not about you wearing God down, but it's about you being able to receive the answer. Are you able to receive that which he's getting ready to give you? Are you in a place to receive that? And so the door that God has opened to you, he knows whether or not you can walk through that door. Is it the time for you to walk? Or is he just allowing you to wait until certain things come into existence in your life so that you can be ready to receive the answer that he has for you? And so, you know, it's important. These things are important as we go through and live in our life for the Lord. All right. Do we have some prayer requests?
Yes, ma'am. We have a few over here.